Yeah, people have been making fun of my skinny jeans. And I told everybody, you know, I'm wearing these things because I want some of that Hillsong anointing. You know? Brian Houston here. The best is yet to be. Let's go to church. Anyway, no, I love Brian. I love Brian and Bobby and Hillsong. And I also love the jeans. I got these jeans in Australia when I was over there at the conference. I love it. I love it. Anyway, I do want to talk a little bit about what Greg talked about a second ago, creativity, because I think the church should be the most creative entity in the universe. I like to do this. Here's the church. There's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. Remember that? Well, in many circumstances and situations, as we've been hearing during this phenomenal conference, here's the church. There's a steeple, open the doors, and where are the people, you know? But what's happening here with church planning and church growth and church development, we got here's the church, there's a steeple, open the doors, and see all the crowded and creative people. So turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're a creative genius. That's right. Everyone here is a creative genius. Over the years, I have discovered that all of us are unique. All of us are one of a kind. All of us, I believe, are artists. And I think the church should be and is the greatest thing in the universe. And also, it should be the most innovative thing in the universe. And pretty much everything I'm saying today, I have tried to unpack in this book that, again, if you can get past the front cover, I think it's going to be good for you, called The Creative Leader. So I want to go through what I call 10.5 commandments of creativity. Now these are kind of changing and emerging and evolving. And I'm not saying that there's only 10.5. I didn't come up with all of these. I've learned a lot of these by doing the wrong thing, or I've learned a lot of these by doing things that didn't work. I've copied a lot of these things from other people. God gave you eyes, plagiarize. But I really believe they're transferable. And sometimes people say, well, that's easy for you to talk about because Fellowship Church is older. You guys have been going for several years. You know, we're just planning. I believe that the church plant even has the creative advantage over some of the larger churches and ministries in the world. And I'll try to explain that. So here's what I want to do. 10.5 commandments of creativity. The first one, and I'm going to just blow through these. Thou shalt ask, are you ready for this? The crucial questions. You show me somebody who is creative, and I'll show you somebody who asks questions. Give me an A. Give me an S. Give me a K. Always seeking knowledge. Go for the ask. There's over 2,400 questions mentioned in Scripture. As a kid growing up in a pastor's home, We had a lot of opportunities to meet some of the Christian celebrities and Christian leaders who would come through. And I was blown away by how some of these leaders would not ask questions. It was like all about them. They would talk about this. They would talk about that. And they would never stop and ask a question. Even as a young guy, I was like, that's weird. On the other hand, there were some other Christian celebrities, Christian, big time people who would ask questions. And I thought, that is off the chain. I mean, that is on an HNL, whole nother level, because they're still doing that thing that got them to where they are today. So I beg you, ask questions. I can learn. You can learn. We can learn from everybody because you have knowledge that I don't know. I have knowledge that you don't know. And if I get into this conversational cadence with you, I ask questions, you give me answers. You ask questions, I give you answers. So there's this beautiful rhythm going on, kind of like this dance going on when you're talking to someone. And it's incredible, the creativity and the ideas that you can get at a conference like this. That's why I love technology so much. Because of technology, people can mentor us all over the place and they can answer questions and we can ask questions through technology. So always ask questions. Never, ever, 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 ever stop asking questions. You show me somebody that asks questions, I'll show you someone who is riding on the crest of creativity. What kind of questions should I ask, Ed? Well, I have four quick ones. Whenever I ask a question, I think, okay, as I'm asking this question, what does it confirm? What does it confirm? I have this leading, this vibe, what does it confirm? And by asking you the question, you either confirm it or not, okay? What should I cancel because of this question? Last night, I had the opportunity to have dinner with some leaders here, and I was asking one particular leader some question, and the reason I asked him this question was I was thinking about canceling something. Because here's what I've discovered a long time ago in leadership and especially in the church world. Dismount a dead horse. So many people will not dismount a dead horse. Just stop stuff. Cancel stuff. Quit doing it before it needs to be stopped or before you need to get off the horse. If it ain't broke, break it, you know? Another question, this is kind of the third kind of vibe that I'm thinking about when I'm questioning, what can I copy from you? What can I steal from you? That's why I enjoy talking to people who are planting churches, because church planters, man, they are riding on the ragged edge of a vision. They are rolling the dice. And sometimes when you talk to pastors of bigger churches, it's like, oh, make a decision. Oh, yeah, we'll get there. Another question, again, what should I innovate or create? Those are the four C's. Second commandment, thou shalt speak to the thirds or speak to the chairs. And we have had this at the forefront of Fellowship Church for a long, long time. We basically have three chairs. We have one chair that is an empty chair. That's for the people who ain't showed up yet. And that's for the person really too who is totally and completely far away from God, someone who is clueless, the person that has no concept of what's going on. We think about that chair. When we're doing, let's say, for example, a weekend worship service, we're thinking about that person. Also, we're thinking about the person whose faith is fresh. That's the second chair. I mean, they're you know, a baby in Christ. And then we're thinking about the third chair, those people who are mature. So speak to the chairs. Anytime you're communicating, you should think about two things. Number one, and ask yourself this question. Number one, what do I need to say? All right, what do I need to say? Okay, and then what should I tell the people in the chairs to do? What do I need to say? Say it, you know, and then what do the people need to do? Because I've heard a lot of messages that are very inspirational, that are humorous, that are this, that are that, but many times I've left going, what am I supposed to do? So give them that application, because 69% of words of Christ's words were words of application. 69%. So we try to keep that model about 40%, you know, words of information, 60% application. Number three, commandment number three, thou shalt remember the weekend and keep it holy. Thou shalt remember the weekend and keep it holy. It's all about the weekend. Wait a minute, it's all about the weekend. Come hell or high water, it's all about the weekend. Broke, busted, or disgusted, it's all about the weekend. It's the weekend stupid. I tell myself all the time, it's the weekend stupid. So goes the weekend, so goes your church. How about men's ministry? Weekend. How about women's ministry? Weekend. How about missions? Weekend. If the weekend is hitting on all cylinders, the rest, I believe, will go well. And it's so easy to have this mission drift. It's like you go into the ocean and you're swimming around, and about 30 minutes later, you're way down the beach. That happens to every single person. It happens to me in our church. I forget why I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, you know? So constantly, we've got to talk about the vision of the church. And we tell Fellowship Church all the time, weekend. It's about the weekend. Because if we don't, I'm telling you, we can get all messed up. And I believe that we should talk about the vision of the church whenever we can. Say it, spray it, wheel it, deal it, make them feel it. One of the biggest mistakes that I've ever made in the history of Fellowship Church, and I made some big ones, was the first several years I didn't talk about the vision of Fellowship Church enough. Talk about it. And I get tired of hearing myself talk about it, but every time I talk about it, people come up and go, oh, thank you, Ed. Oh, I just needed to hear that once again about the vision of Fellowship Church. So I would challenge you to do a vision series at least once a year. And I would challenge you, of course, to do a financial series at least once a year, because you can't talk about those two things enough if you feel me. I think you do. So say it, spray it, wheel it, deal it, make them feel it. Number four, thou shalt ride the theta waves. The theta waves. I'm a frustrated drummer. We have some drums. Do we have some sticks up there too? I am a very frustrated drummer. Y'all, we got some sticks. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Now, here's what's sad. I'm going to play something for you right quick. And I stopped playing the drums when I was in the fifth grade. And this is as far as I got. Okay? This is it. I could do this in the fifth grade. And I could do it now like I could in the fifth grade. I never progressed past this. But just bear with me. That's it. Well, our Heavenly Father has a rhythm. Did you know the Bible is a book of rhythm? That's right. Our God's a God of rhythm. And you know what God says to you and me? Match my rhythm. Say it with me. Match my rhythm. As leaders, as pastors, are we matching God's rhythm? Because sometimes I will like beat on the steering wheel in my truck and the kids will be in the back and I'll have them try to match my rhythm. What am I doing? I'm the father telling my kids, hey, here's what to do. What's God's rhythm? 6-1, 6-1, 6-1. Also notice too, how many times in the gospel that Jesus took breaks. Now, I'm talking directly now to those of us who are in the ministry, which I think all of us are, and those of us who are on staff, and those of us who are planning services. Here's what I'm saying again. If you don't take breaks, your schedule will break you. If you don't match this rhythm of rest that God's given us, and that God wants us to enjoy, if you don't match this rhythm of riding the theta waves. What are theta waves? Theta waves are the brain waves that hit the coastline of your consciousness when you're at a relaxed state or in the state of just chilling. Maybe you're playing golf. Boom, I have a good idea. You're in the shower. Whoa, where'd that idea come from? You're driving, listening to music. Man, that's incredible. Why don't we have those ideas during those times? I'll tell you why. Theta waves, baby, theta waves. We don't take enough time off. The art of taking time away. Leadership is measured more by your absence than your participation. Yeah, I know it's going to go great when you're in the game. I know it's going to go great when you're there, right? But I want to challenge you. I'm even talking to church planners now again, to take time off. Now, for the first year and a half of a Fellowship Church, the first year and a half when we planted Fellowship Church, it was throttled to the firewall. But then, after a year and a half, Lisa and I started taking breaks. Now, you got the obvious breaks. Take a day off during the week. That's a break. You know, 6-1. take a break then. Take the natural breaks as much as you can. What are the natural breaks? Memorial Day. No one's at church Memorial Day weekend. It's a horrible weekend. 4th of July weekend. No one's there. You don't be there either. Spring break. Everybody else takes spring break. You take a break too. The weekend after Christmas, it's a friendship circle. BB's in a boxcar. Don't be there. I've just given you 4 or 5 natural misses. Don't show up. On top of that, I encourage you to get into this rhythm. Match the rhythm of the Father. I encourage you to get in the rhythm of taking breaks. I'm talking about breaks, like at least missing 2 weekends straight and then segue into 3 weekends, 4 weekends, 5 weekends, 6 weekends straight. Ed, what are you smoking? Man, this is crazy. I mean, have you lost your mind? No. We're in a marathon, right? Not a sprint. You will have your best creativity. You'll have your best innovation. You'll have your best thoughts when you're taking a break. It'll be awesome for your marriage, for your family, for everybody when you take the break. If you don't take the break, your schedule will break you, because there is nothing as awesome as the ministry. It is beautiful. Beautiful, baby. It's beautiful. It's also brutal. I still get all nervous and all freaked out, and I've been doing this for 2 decades now, because preaching will slap wear you out. And here I grew up around, you know, of course, a pastor, my father, and I had no idea the emotional stress and turmoil. Speaking in public is what? The biggest fear? I think people fear that more than they fear death. So you go to a funeral, the guy giving the eulogy is more fearful. Well, I'm saying he'd rather give him the eulogy. No, he'd rather be in the box than give him the eulogy. That's right, yeah. Yeah, I blew that joke. Yeah, it's okay. I do it all the time. It's just, you know. Anyway, take breaks. And there's the art of the vacation. I would challenge you, you know, to take breaks with people you enjoy hanging out with. You know, I love people at Fellowship Church, but there are very, 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 very few people that I want to hang out with. But even after the first 2 years, we started taking breaks, and it helped us in the long run. So, well, who do you get to speak? Well, that's easy. Just put people up on stage and help them to start, you know, talking and speaking and leading and bring your friends in, you know, to speak. Bring people in who understand the vision of the church. Your creativity will go to an HNL. So ride the theta waves. Number 5, thou shalt always plan with the team. Everybody is a creative genius. We should all plan with creative teams. Ed, I don't have a team. I'm by myself. We're just starting out. Again, technology. That's the wonderful thing about connecting with great leaders around the country and the world at a conference like this. You can get to know one another, encourage one another, help one another, steal one another's ideas. And when you steal an idea, again, you'll make it better. Whenever I steal an idea, if I don't make it better, I've really messed up. So that's why I don't completely photocopy people I steal from. I'll steal from you, you know what I mean by steal, put it through my creative sane or my creative colander, if you're into cooking, and then as you build a creative team around that idea, you'll take that idea to an HNL. So thou shalt always plan with a team. Why with a team? 5 reasons. Number 1, you'll get a fresh flow of creative ideas. I would have never had that brilliant illustration of the coat had I not planned in a creative team. I would not have had that. Wouldn't have had it. And I think it is a brilliant thing. I did a series on sex, and you might have heard the 7-day sex challenge that we did that was pretty popular. Well, we brought a bed on stage. I didn't have that idea myself, man. Our creative team did. But here's an idea I had off of that was pretty funny. We brought a dog bed on stage alongside the regular bed. Because you know what? We're not animals. Oh, somebody help me. You understand where I'm going, don't you? See, that ideas play off each other, and it's just cool. Number two, it gives you great confidence as a communicator that you are shucking the corn, baby. I'm under creative team planning. Why? Fresh idea. Number two, it gives you confidence. Like, man, I know this is right because I got four or five people from different walks of life. I got tension in the room on your creative team. We got laughter in the room. Our best ideas come out of laughter. Oh, we love to imitate preachers, or we'll watch Christian television. Oh, we love that stuff, man. If it really gets low, I got a collection of classic Bishop T.D. Jakes tapes that will, I mean, back old school Bishop Jakes. Those things, man, will just fire you up. We have all sorts of things. Well, sometimes creative ideas come from conflict. If you're not getting any creativity, just create conflict. Number three, critique. It gives you a great climate of critique. Don't wait until after the weekend or after the event or after the whatever. Critique it while you're putting it together. Number four, it's a great training ground for speakers. Last night we were talking about this whole thing about if you don't take breaks, your schedule will break you. And someone asked me, well, Ed, who do you use to speak? Well, I've trained about five or six speakers who've been a part of my creative team for the last several years, and they didn't even know they were trained. And now they speak all the time at fellowship, and they're unreal because I get tired of hearing myself. Number five, it helps you to know who's in the house. Because these people, you know, are connected with people you'll never know, and they can help you know who's in the house. So always plan with a creative team. We have a whole video, I mean, that's done on this process from start to bottom on creativepastors.com. You can go and check it out and watch it, and we have all sorts of things about a team, but I would encourage you to start planning with the team, because I tried to do it all myself early on, about kill myself, and I discovered, hey, I'm the creative bottleneck behind everything. So if you're like Mr. Creativity, or if you're Miss Creativity, or Mrs. Creativity, you can be the bottleneck. So ask the questions, share, bring people around you, because all of us are creative geniuses. If we're not, I mean, it's an insult to God. I mean, God is a creative genius. We're made in his image. We should create. But somewhere along life's journey, we lose the creativity. We trade in the artistic for the analytical. We trade in using our imagination for memorization. Kids, when they're kids, man, they're geniuses on this whole scale of creativity. Do the studying. And our educational system just beats it out of them. Wow. Number six, right? Thou shalt not steal an idea without making it better. Thou shalt not steal an idea without making it better. This is a great principle. Find people that you connect with. Find people that you can question. Find people who are kind of in your flow and in your stream. Steal their ideas. Talk to them. How did you do that? Why did you do that? And when you're asking them questions, what are you doing? Oh, that confirms something? Okay, I'm not going to do that. That's not me. I can copy that, and I can create that off of that. And it's been amazing over the years, the different series and ideas that we've stolen from churches that made it better. And we've been doing this stuff so long now, I've seen how other churches have stolen our ideas and made them a whole lot better. So that's the cool thing, again, about conferences, about sharing. So just get freed up and begin to share the ideas. And I'm telling you, this is going to be going great. Just a series that we're doing now called Fashion Police. I like the series. I think the series has been great. There's so much about fashion in the church. A friend of mine's doing one. I think that's even a lot better than ours. He's calling it Strip Club. Now, before you freak, this is brilliant. Think about how many times in the New Testament it talks about stripping away. That's great. But we have ideas like Easter, for example. Easter, we started this thing called the Fashion Police. And here's where I got some ideas, Fashion Police. So I started thinking about I started thinking about garments, you know? And then I started thinking about this, because I've always enjoyed clothes. I started thinking about the fashion of Jesus. I thought, I've never heard of a message on the fashion of Jesus. I mean, that's just kind of a unique topic. I like that, the fashion of Jesus. And so I read this old school message by this old school preacher. And it was great about the garment, the seamless garment of Jesus. So I took that idea, we gave it to our creative team, we stole three or four of his points, put them in our lingo and language. I combined this whole thing about the fashion of Jesus with him, and then we started coming up with phrases. I love phrases, you know, I like alliteration, I like rhyme, on the dime, every time, yours and mine, peace of mind, I like it. People say, well, no, we're still nonlinear, man, you shouldn't rhyme or no alliteration. Say, what? The whole hip-hop industry is all about alliteration and rhyme. And that's just who I am. If you're not into rhyme, fine. But I really enjoy it. So we like to come up with phrases, memorable phrases. And it takes groups of us to do this, man. I'm not like Bishop Jakes. He can come up with them just, you know, like that. But we have some great phrases for Easter. And this is like, I can remember for you. Okay, check this out. I read this in the Gospels, and God just the Holy Spirit said, Ed, say this. Have you ever read in the Gospels where it talks about that Jesus' garment was seamless from top to bottom? And then it talks about the veil of the temple was ripped in two from what? Top to bottom. Then God said, boom, Ed, that's the gospel. God came from top to bottom to bring us from the bottom to the top. Okay, I've been using that the entire series. Then think about clothing again. This is phenomenal, clothing. God on our creative team told me this. He goes, Ed, think about what Jesus did. Jesus laid aside his seamless garment, I can't talk, his seamless garment, and put on our garment of unrighteousness so we can lay aside our sinful garment and put on his garment of righteousness. So there's this big clothing exchange. So see, I'll take several phrases like that and just hammer the living fool out of those during the entire series. And then last time I talked about baptism. And you know, how do you come up with something creative on baptism? Well, our creative team talked about it, and then I thought, man, we could do something like put on a wet suit, you know, and then we started thinking about that. And then, oh, okay, baptism. You're buried with Christ from top to bottom, from bottom to top, and we begin to talk about the fashion statement. Think about designers, okay? We're not shy to wear designers, are we? Our designers on names on shoes, you know, Nike, Adidas, whatever, jeans and shirts, and names are everywhere. But so often, we will not go public with our faith and display the designer through baptism. So you can just go off on that. And Galatians 3:27 talks about being clothed in baptism and on and on and on. So again, I'm just showing you one little idea and you get rolling with it. And then you start, it is fun, man, but it's draining. It's draining to think in a creative way. Number, am I at seven now? Seven? Yeah. Number seven. Thou shalt stay away. This is kind of a random here in creativity, but thou shalt keep your distance. That's a better way to say it. A more positive way to say it, amen? Keep your distance from crazy people. Keep your distance from crazy people. Crazy people will ruin your creativity. And the church is like a hotbed for crazy people. You know what I'm saying? I did a whole series a while back called Crazy Pill. About crazy people. I loved it. It was therapeutic because being in the ministry and stuff, I mean, I've been around so many crazy people, it's unbelievable. But do you mind, you might be saying, what is a crazy person? I have it down here somewhere. Golly, where is it? I've written all of these crazy qualities. I just read it. I've lost my, let's see. Okay. Promise you I'll find it. But you know what I'm saying to you, man. There's some crazy people in church. And I believe the devil puts about 10 crazy people in every person's life, every Christian's life. And a lot of us waste time trying to help these crazy people and we'll never help them. Because they'll be crazier a decade from now than they were when we started messing with them. I'm serious. And you got to love them. You got to love everybody. I mean, you got to love even the crazy people, you know? You got to love them. And here's what crazy people will mess you up. Some people don't look crazy, but they're as crazy as a Betsy bug. And they can ruin your creativity. But why? You're saying this doesn't even make sense. Yes, it does, because you can spend so much energy praying and helping and reading and discipling the crazy people that you're just worn out and you don't have enough energy left to even create. So you got to, Chris Hodges, create margins to create. Create time to create. You don't just say, okay, I got 20 minutes, I'm going to create. No. Here's some crazy people. 15 qualities. Just church planners, please write these down, man. I'm telling you. Number one, they got crazy eyes. The Bible says the eyes are the windows of our soul. They'll keep you from creativity. Number two, they're always playing the God card. They'll just out-God you. God told me, God said. Number three, they're a name dropper. Oh, they are a name-dropping fool. They'll drop names. They don't even, it's just like, one time I was with, I almost said his name, a well-known Christian leader, and this brother was dropping so many names. We were playing golf, in fact. And finally, I'm like, there's no way he knows all these people. This guy is such a narcissist. I couldn't believe it. And I go, I'm saying to myself, you know what? I'm going to start making up stuff, making up names. And I bring up names, you know, like, and he was like, yes, I know him. And it was someone has to tell you who they know. My brother walked into my office, and there's a couple pictures with me with some kind of famous people. He goes, Ed, you know, those pictures look nice, but that just proves you don't know them. That's pretty funny, Ed. You get it? Yeah. If you ever have your picture with a celebrity, it just proves you don't know them. Okay. Name dropper. Number four, crazy people are one-upmen. You go like, oh, man, my wife and I just got back from a trip to the Caribbean. Oh, really? Well, we just got off a yacht that Bill Gates chartered. Number five, they will blow your phone up. They'll ruin your creativity. Number six, here's my best. They'll ask advice, but they don't take it. Isn't that crazy? It's hilarious, isn't it? You just give them advice, and they're looking at you. They just do the opposite. And they're always talking about themselves. Always talking about themselves. Isn't that's frustrating. Talk to somebody, always talking about themselves. They don't have a filter. Yeah, we just want to keep it real. No, well, I don't want to know all that. They're one-issue people. If you just talk about men's ministry once again, please, the men in the church, please. The men. Yeah, no, the men in the church. We need to talk to the men. Get in the faces of the men. Yeah, just, whoa. Got an issue? Grab a tissue. Amen. They're space invaders. They get too close. Let me show you a move. I'm skipped down here. Well, you know, let me bring somebody on stage. Stovall, come up here. Or no, Chris, you come up here, Chris. Now, this right here, this is one of the best moves that you can learn as a leader in the church. Okay. Crazy people, all right?
Thank you. Thanks, Al.
They will invade your space. They just get too close. You know what I'm saying to people? They're kind of, yeah. Okay. If you will take your dominant leg, which is my right one, and put it like this when you're talking now, you try to get close. See, you can't. No. See, that right there will change your life. Thank you, Chris Hodges. Yeah. Don't let them get too close. A crazy person, number 11, will dress in the uniform of the team he or she is cheering for. I mean the full uniform, headgear, shoulder pads, everything. Number 12, I can't keep going. They enjoy their dysfunction. It becomes their friend, their buddy, their homie. Number 13, crazy people have crazy pets. Number 14, crazy people always answer the phone this way. Hello. And last but not least, when you speak, I don't care if you're speaking to 10 people or 10,000, they're usually the first to walk up to you or the last one to talk to you. I got to go. Hey, there's one more person who wants to talk to you. Number 8, the 8th commandment, thou shalt hire yes men. Yes men. They need to be yielded, encouraging, and strong. I love to be around encouraging and positive people. We have even released people if they just kind of give that negative vibe. Or we've moved volunteers and others because they just don't give you that, yeah, you know? So if your heart doesn't beat fast when you see this person, it's like, oh, man, I got to avoid them. Were you doing like that? Hey, something needs to change. You know what I'm saying to you? Number 9, thou shalt grow by strategic subtraction. Don't tell me who's showing up. Tell me who's leaving. And Fellowship Church, even today, we have grown as much by subtraction as we have through addition. That is a great, great thing. So don't tell me who's showing up. Tell me who's leaving your church. Because no matter what you do, people will leave your church. I don't care if you have Hillsong United leading worship. I don't care if you've got Bishop Jakes preaching and Brian Houston leading. I don't care if you have this amount of money and whatever. People will leave your church. And it always hurts. I understand that. It hurts me. The day it stops hurting me is the day I'll leave the ministry. People will leave your church. And they'll say things, you know, like, I'm not getting fed or it's not deep enough, you know. And I'll say things like, well, you know what? I'm still working on love thy neighbor as thyself. I think many times people think they're being deep, but they're really being muddy. I think the greatest compliment anyone could give a communicator of the gospel is, hey, that was a simple message. Not shallow. Simple. 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 So man, we got to be clear. Jesus was clear. He is clear. We got to be clear. So, yeah, people are going to leave, and that's okay. You got to have, you know, the church of the blessed subtraction around you. And there's several feeder churches, and that's cool. That's fine. But I say all the time, we need your seat. So there should be a constant movement of people who show up and who cycle out. So your vision should tell not only who you're reaching, but who you're not reaching. Number 10. It is number 10, right? Okay, I just want to make sure. Thou shalt not covet other ministries. Again, it's unfair to compare. Joe said it beautifully. You got to be who you are. Have your own story, your own vibe, your own style. I learn from everybody, but I've got to take what I've learned and put it through me in my context and where God has called me. And you, my friend, are the same way. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I know that, but we can't just photocopy them. All right, 10.5. There's not 10, 10.5. And this is going to be a big one, very, very convicting. Thou shalt not lie about the numbers. Why do we lie? That's a good question. I'm going to write a book one day called Why Preachers Lie. And some of these lists that you'll see out there, please, please do not believe all the numbers on these lists. I'm not blaming the people that, you know, report it. They don't know. They're dealing with a bunch of people who exaggerate and lie, but we tend to lie about numbers. Let's just face it. I love to fish. It's a biblical sport. You know that. And many times I've caught a largemouth bass. Boom. Oh, this bass, no doubt. 6 pounds. Hey, let's weigh it, Ed. No, it's 6 pounds. I'm telling you. I got these digital scales. It's 6 pounds. Okay. And a 6 pound bass will go to 3 pounds and 4 ounces like that. You know what I'm saying to you? And that can happen, and it does happen in our churches. Here's something to remember whenever you hear about a church blowing up a church story. This has helped me. There's always a story behind the story. You can't compare. There's always a story behind the story. So, you know, many churches that we hear about, we read about, whoever, whatever, I mean, awesome, the crowds and this and that, but they're not necessarily the most effective churches, because here's some questions that you need to ask yourself, and we turn these questions over and over and over on the rotisserie grill of our minds every time we meet together as a leadership team. Number one, are you structured for growth? That's a big one. Church structure and the structure of your staff and your flow. Now, don't get so structured that you worship the process and miss the purpose. I know some churches that just, it's all about the process. And you know what churches do? Usually, churches want control without responsibility. And leaders demand both with accountability. Number two, this is really, really something. Who are you really reaching? I hate that one. Who are you really reaching? Are you shuffling contemporary sheep? Are you just a cool place? Or are you really reaching people who are far away from God? Well, how do you know? Real quick, attendance. Yeah, you got to count. But I'm telling you this, guys. You have all these multiple services over and over and over and over and over and over and over. You're going to double count. You will double count when you have all these multiple services. And I can, there's a whole reason and rationale behind it, but just remember, be very, very careful of double counting. Count baptisms. What baptisms? Being clothed in baptism. Count adult baptism, because baptism is pretty important. Jesus talked about it a lot. Adult baptisms. Wow. I'm not talking about just biological growth. It's a big one. Count your small groups. Volunteers. Wow. New members, and those are some big things. That's huge. That's huge. Who are you reaching? I would ask that question every single staff meeting. And the last one, number three, where are you putting your money? If I could say one thing to you, I would say this: pay your staff well. Pay your staff well. Pay your staff well. Pay them well, pay them well. Great churches have a lean staff, I believe, and they give the ball of ministry to the volunteers, because when you pay your staff well, you got loyalty, appreciation, tranquility, consistency, and generosity. But the old adage is, Lord, you keep them humble, we'll keep them poor, amen? No. Because if you pay peanuts, you'll get monkeys. We have to pay our people well. Whoa, that's it. The 10.5 commandments of creativity. There's more, but I'm telling you, the church is and should be the most creative entity in the universe. Thank you guys for your creativity, your innovation. Thank you for everything. I love you. I'll see you soon.